This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Hello, welcome to Friday evening. You've made it, I've made it, and now it's time for the shake-up. I'm Angel Parsons, I'm filling in for Dave Marchese, and we're breaking down the stories of the week that made you talk, the stuff that got you laughing or fired up. Here's a taste of what is coming up.
Hack. You wouldn't yell at a city cavoodle like that.
Giant red flag to match his giant red head.
The app is a so-called dopamine site. Buying something without spending money.
What you wear to work matters.
Leg hair harassment.
Sit down!
On Triple J.
Yeah, a lot coming up on this show. Later we're talking about these apps that let you pretend to buy fake food, fake clothes. I know that sounds ridiculous if you've never heard of it before, but stick with us because they are popping off. I'm keen to know, would you do this? Like, would you order some takeaway, watch the map as it tracks the delivery? Except the catch is it never gets delivered. You did not pay for anything and the food does not exist. Let me know if you use these apps. Would a fake shop like help you scratch that itch? You can text in on 0439 757 555. What do you reckon of these dopamine apps? We'll be getting into that soon, but first let's meet our shake-up crew this week. And I'm here with comedian Will Gibb. Hey, Will.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. How's life been?
So amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, just the most amazing. Happy Friday.
Have you had a big week?
Yeah, a lot of sleep. My sleep pattern's out of whack, so that sucks. But I've had a great week. A lot of fun.
Any big plans for the weekend?
More of the same.
Yeah, okay. I love the sound of that. I don't
know. The days blur together. I thought today was Tuesday.
So I love that for you.
Yeah. Everything's coming up.
I feel unfortunately too tuned into what day it is, but, you know, that's great.
No, but that's because you're a professional.
You are also a professional, Will Gibb, and we're happy to have you here. Also with us on the Shake Up today, journalist and creator Izzy Phillips. Hello.
Hello.
How have you been?
I've been good. A big TGIF to all.
Yeah, and I've seen you did a bit of an Instagram dump. You were in Japan recently.
I was. I did a trail race in Japan, terrified as they're having like a record bear attack season. I had a bell, I had bear spray, but I outran the bear and I returned so I can do the shake up on Hack.
Oh my God, I don't think anything's going to top that. Do you have any plans for the weekend?
Absolutely nothing. Going to be queening out, put my heels up and just enjoy.
Oh, it sounds like a dream. Well, let's get into it.
Hack. One Nation's Barnaby Joyce joins me now. Welcome to the program, Barnaby Joyce.
I don't know whether you do welcome me, but let's have a go.
On Triple J.
Yeah, that's how the interview started, and it's ended in a lot of debate online about what is an appropriate way to discipline your dog. One Nation MP Barnaby Joyce was being interviewed on the ABC's 7:30 program this week. He was talking about Pauline Hanson's comments surrounding mass deportation, also whether he's happy with the direction of the party. But I don't know if you saw this, an outburst during the interview has derailed the conversation online. There's now memes and headlines galore about how he spoke to his dog.
Hack.
One Nation MP Barnaby Joyce might be able to put his hat in the ring for TV Blooper of the Year.
After he yelled at a dog during a live television interview.
You're defending your leader, but are you really comfortable with where she is taking you?
I think, sit down!
Apparently the dog's name is Stella.
You wouldn't yell at a city cavoodle like that.
So really, Barnaby's being true blue.
And the dog still loves me.
Barnaby Joyce screamed at his dog and the left are having a meltdown.
The thing is, you can test a man's character and how he treats animals.
I'd like to hear from Stella, actually. I need to know what went down.
On Triple J.
Yeah, what did you make of this whole thing? Were you, like, a bit taken aback by this? Is it okay to talk to your dog like that? Or maybe you're a bit confused as to why there's so much debate around this. Text in and let me know, 0439 757 555. On Hack's Instagram, someone says, this was an uncomfortable thing to watch. Someone else saying this was shocking. But also someone else saying this is normal for farm dogs. This is The Shake Up on Hack. I'm Angel Parsons and I'm joined by comedian Will Gibb and journalist Izzy Phillips. Izzy, was this in your feed this week?
It absolutely was. as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my God, Ozpol is back. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Ozpol has like previously been like so kind of like batshit, so Tony Abbott eating an onion, and we haven't had that in a while. And for me, when I was scrolling, it stopped me in my tracks.
Okay, you feel like this will make it to those compilation videos that you might stay up late on a Saturday night watching on YouTube?
Absolutely. And if it's not in there, I'm going to be commenting, you know, there is one big omission from it.
What about you, Will? What did you make of this whole saga?
I just think the humour of it comes like so out of nowhere. Like, it's not like a build up to this like aggression. Like, it's just like so aggressive off the bat. It's almost like a bit of a jump scare.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a bit, but to be fair, I have yelled at my dogs before. I have.
Big admission.
Yeah, but like, I've never yelled at them completely out of nowhere like that. Like, it's a build up. Like, if my dogs are running onto the road, it'll be like, Shirley! Like, get back in!
So
like,
you have dogs?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And okay. Like that, but that's like a yell of like, oh my gosh, they're running for the road. And like, I think you just need to discipline your dogs a little bit. But I'm of the belief that there's no such thing as a bad dog. There's only bad owners.
Okay.
So I think if you're going to yell at your dog like that out of the blue, like maybe you've got to have a proper way to discipline the dog.
I get what you mean about it kind of coming out of nowhere, because I don't know if it was like the Zoom technology or something, but as a viewer, you couldn't really hear the dog, at least as much as it must have been bothering Barnaby to warrant that reaction. And we actually put this to the Hack audience. We put this up on our stories today asking, you know, is this an okay way to talk to your dog? And I think the poll results are interesting. Obviously, you know, take this with a grain of salt. It's not rigorous scientific data, but 21% of people said it is okay to talk to your dog like this. So almost 80% said no. Izzy, what camp are you in?
Okay. I think there's like a time and a place to be kind of stern, but I think that given, like you said, with your dogs, Will, it's like context is everything. Mm. He's standing on a veranda doing an interview. It's like the dog is going to be near the veranda with him. There's nothing kind of what we can tell from the clip, particularly like harmful that the dog's going into. And it just felt, I don't know, unwarranted vitriol coming from him, to be honest.
If I'm eating, right, and my dog jumps up, it'll be this, down, like that. Right?
Sit
down. Because I'm not going to say to my dog, hey, sorry, I'm just eating at the moment. Could you please sit down and then, or down, like, it's just like a down and then she's down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not down.
Sit down.
It's just like a stern, like down and then she's down.
There's an in-between area, I reckon.
I think
We've got some thoughts on the text line. Someone's saying there's nothing wrong with yelling at a dog. Every dog I've met doesn't speak English. I don't know if I'd do it on live TV, but that's the way it is. Someone else, Mo from Nam, saying the dog is just a distraction tactic that gets him out of answering questions.
Whoa.
It's a good point I want to raise later, but someone else says so much about it. Oh, someone else says that this says so much about Australia at the minute, all the ridiculous media overplay at the expense of reporting on the real issues. Someone else saying you can tell someone's character by how they treat animals, servers and minorities. An interesting point there. As I said, we reached out on Hack's Instagram to get some opinions on this. And yeah, people are really divided on this. Some people saying it is okay. Some people have other thoughts though. This is what Chloe had to say.
Don't get me wrong, I don't like Barnaby, but I think a lot of dog and pet owners out there are guilty of talking to them like this at times.
Also, Ellie wrote in,
I think it is so clearly a matter of city-country divide. I've seen so many people online over-dissecting this into the likes of animal cruelty, but to me it feels offensive to criticise a lifestyle that you have no first-hand experience of.
And yeah, like, I don't know, it's an interesting point here, I think, because Barnaby Joyce, you know, after this kind of happened, said that he was getting to a point where the barking was so incessant he couldn't think straight and that he had to talk to Stella, the dog, that's the dog's name, in farm language is what he said. So I don't know, do you reckon there's maybe a difference in views towards dogs in the city versus the country?
I mean, yeah, like, you know, there are working dogs that have kind of rules on the farm and, you know, things that they've got to be doing because, like, you know, whether they're mustering sheep or whatever it be versus, you know, just having a trot, you know, down the kind of street. I think, you know, there is a time and a place for it, but I think the ways in which he did it I mean, we couldn't hear any of the barking either. You know what I mean? It's like if the bark is so incessant and so loud, why couldn't we hear it?
Some have, I've seen in the comment section, wondering if there is a dog. Will, what do you reckon of this country-city divide?
Well, my dad's side of the family, like there's a lot of country. Like they have a farm work on a farm. And the work dogs don't even get pats. Like they don't get like a job well done. They get fed really well. But the house dog is the one that gets like the love and the affection and all that sort of stuff. So I generally do just think it's a tale of two worlds. I'd be interested in that poll to see how many dog owners are in there as well. Because I think it's such a big thing. Like obviously if you've never owned a dog, you just love them and you see them as so sweet. But as some people are saying before, like, yeah, there's some moments where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
I just think the aggression and as you said, the context is everything. And I don't think the context that he was in warranted.
Yeah. Well, also like Barnaby has a bit of a history with dogs. Like he famously said to, you know, Johnny Depp, if I'm not mistaken, like come get your dog or we're going to euthanize them when Depp had his dogs in Australia.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I think we've also just got to take into consideration there's a bit of legacy with Barnaby Joyce and dogs.
Wow, okay. I remember that.
Okay. That's an interesting point you bring up there, Izzy.
They were two little shih tzus or something.
Yeah, they were.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I had forgotten about that, but it's really kind of snowballed, hasn't it? Turned into this big thing. I was reading an ABC article where they had interviewed dog experts for their take, like getting to the bottom of it. And the people in this article were divided about the best way to handle it. Lots of kind of different views. And I don't know, I think it's interesting to think about the lives of dogs in the city versus the country. Like I'm from North Queensland and I would say it's common for dogs to sleep outside. When I moved to Sydney, I would say less so though. You know, you don't have the poodle sleeping outside, do you, Izzy?
I don't think so, but I also like, I guess it's just all very different. Like there's more space. People living in apartments, there's like, you know, the dog actually can't
lots
be
of factor
out.
In.
Lots yeah. of factor in.
If you took an Australian sheepdog though, like the ones at like my dad's farm, for example, like they're so happy. And they're so happy to be working. Whereas if you took an Australian sheepdog and they were living in the city in an apartment, maybe like, I don't think, and they were really well looked after. I don't think they would be as happy as those country dogs that might not be getting pats and all that, but I don't know.
Yeah. Not saying there's a right or wrong here.
No, there's no right or wrong, but it's just different.
That's it. It's just different. The text line, someone saying, I don't think he ever answered the question he was asked. Somebody else says, Barnaby Joyce has dog shit for morals. The dog was just letting him know. That's someone on the text line there. Matt from Perth says, what a missed PR opportunity to hug a dog in front of the whole country. That's an interesting point there. And someone else saying, I work on a farm and have had to yell at my dog before, but it's never to harm. As soon as the dog does what it's told, it is rewarded. It's interesting to think about like the politics and the tactics here, I guess, because that's another critique here that Barnaby was just trying to stall or avoid the question. Izzy, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think that if there genuinely wasn't a dog, Barnaby quit politics, go into acting, you know, contact Christopher Nolan, put that man in the IMAX because that was an incredible performance. You could see his eyes darting around. You could see that he was kind of agitated by the dog. I think that if there wasn't a dog, I think that's a huge concern and problem for him dodging questions from like our national current affairs broadcast program. So I think it's probably in our best interest to hope that there was a dog.
Because do you get the concern that as well, like while the media is writing this up and while there's headlines about this, what we aren't talking about and scrutinising is policy.
Absolutely.
Will, do you have strong thoughts about that? Do you like these big political gaffes that happen? Like, do you enjoy when our politicians go
as you
go
said,
like
rogue? there's some iconic ones, but perhaps, you know, it kind of works both ways. Like maybe hopefully talking about all this stuff with the dog, then, you know, there's going to be more scrutiny on the next time he does get interviewed on these policies rather than maybe if, let's say, the interview went off squeaky clean, perhaps not many people would have seen that interview. So maybe there could be a trade-off potentially in the future. I don't know. But I feel like if people, maybe. Yep. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
It does. Wow. And people on the text line really resonating. We're getting a lot of messages about this. Someone saying, this was an interview on national TV. He should have been inside the house.
Well, exactly. I'm just like, why is he on the veranda? Have some respect. Go into a room.
Someone else saying, I grew up in the country. I've never spoken to a dog like that. This is not a country thing. Someone saying that on the text line. Someone else saying, when I'm working from home, I'm expected to have my dog out of hearing shot while I'm on the phone. Maybe Barnaby needs the same rule. And someone else saying, I wonder if it was a veiled way to be mean to the interviewer. Okay, someone wondering if maybe he was letting out some frustration there. Lots of thoughts about this. We're going to move on now and ask, could some of these new shopping apps cure shopping addiction or make things worse?
Hack.
South Korea invented a fake shopping website where you can browse, fill a cart, and track a delivery, but nothing ever gets delivered. And it's just to, like, hit that dopamine.
Dopamine sites, baby.
Just from shopping, I guess.
That's what I'm talking about.
On Triple J.
Yeah, let's say it's a weeknight. You're a bit bored. And without thinking, you reach for your phone to scroll, maybe do a bit of online shopping, maybe look at getting some food delivered. So you look through the app, you pick your meal, you watch the tracking of the delivery, except it never gets delivered because it doesn't exist. Does this sound ridiculous to you, or are you kind of on the camp of like, nah, this makes a whole lot of sense. I know how my brain works and this makes sense. Because these kinds of quote-unquote dopamine apps are more popular than you might think, where you can get the dopamine rush of buying something without actually buying it. What do you think of this? You know, would you do this, or do you reckon this is like peak online addiction gamification gone too far? Text in on 0439 757 555. I'm really keen to hear what you think of this. This is The Shake Up on Hack. I'm Angel Parsons and I'm with comedian Will Gibb and journalist Izzy Phillips. Will, could Hello. You use this kind of thing?
Well, do you want to hear something crazy?
Okay, go.
I have actually never, ever bought anything online.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so
you've got to be joking.
No, the only thing I've bought online is like games. Like I'm a big gamer. So like I'll buy like obviously off the store or something a game and it downloads. But I've never actually gone on like a clothing website or any like stores and bought something and then waited for it to arrive in the mail. So, yeah,
I know. Let me tell you that dopamine rush is unmatched.
But can I tell you something? When I do make a purchase,
yeah,
the only thing I feel is incredible remorse. So I actually don't get the dopamine rush. Like I bought something like a couple weeks ago. Everyone's like, are you so excited? Like this is so amazing. And I was like, I feel awful right now.
Is that
it takes like a week for me to feel good about
it. Is it because of the spending of the money that you're like, oh, was it worth it?
I think so, mate. Like I don't, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just because I'm like, did I deserve that? I think it's less so about like the money and more so about like, do I deserve this?
Okay. I need to hear more about the fact you've never bought clothes online.
Never, yeah.
Because that's quite shocking to me. Do you just love the experience of shopping in store? You're just not much of a shopper? What's
the
reason?
Like, okay, a big thing is the fit, right? Like I could see a great shirt, but if it fits, like I hate a shirt that kind of makes me look boxy, like when it sits kind of like cardboardy almost. Like what if it's like that? You know, so many questions running through my mind when I'm buying something. And then I've just never, I don't know.
Well, I think you've got like a new Instagram bio, like Will Gibb advocate for brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, literally. I like the idea of it being like bring back video stores. That's a whole other topic. But like, do you know what I mean? Like
we talked about this recently and people have big thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Izzy, have you ever bought clothes online?
Okay, I need to let you guys in on a secret.
Oh my gosh.
Fully have like a shopping addiction. Like I like the dopamine from like buying it for
okay.
I had something delivered to my house today. I was working from the office. I was tempted to like pop home in my lunch break just to open it, just to see what was in there.
That's kind of fair.
Yeah.
I like literally couldn't control myself. And then I had to say, get a grip. You're actually on a deadline. You got work to do. Plug in.
And as soon as you get home, you'd be unpacking that package I am assuming. So if, you know, this issue of dopamine is like really real, as you're saying, Izzy. I don't know. I reckon so much of us would be reaching for our phones without even thinking about it, without even needing anything. You know, can you really see why people would be turning to these apps? Would you do that yourself?
I can absolutely see why the appeal of the apps, like the dopamine and the rush. But for me, I actually think it's kind of a slippery slope. Like if you're already spending all of this money that like for me, like I probably like when Vinted launched in Australia, I was like, let's go. Like if you're already doing that, having an app that's replacing it and solidifying those kind of dopamine pathways in your brain is probably not a healthy thing to do. if you have a problem, like the best thing to do is probably just like stop spending.
Yeah, Will, I'm curious to get your thoughts on that too. Like, I don't know if you wonder this could just be keeping us hooked. I mean, maybe you're not someone who, you know, online shops a lot, but, you know, you make a lot of content online. I don't know if you struggle to switch off, or like if you're kind of often looking at, oh, you know, how's this post performing, or what are people saying about this? Like, I feel like that kind of feeds into this. You know, do you think us young people do have a problem with, you know, dopamine addiction and phone addiction?
1,000%.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about it in a sense of like when I play games, like obviously like I really love gaming, but I was thinking like, why does gaming sometimes like not hit as hard? And it's because like in between like a loading screen, or if I'm waiting for something, I just pull out my phone and I'm hit with like so much. So it's like that gaming used to be like the big escape, like awesome moment. But if in between every lull moment, I'm just going on my phone, it's like, you know what I mean? It kind of absorbed, there's no downtime. So the upticks aren't as big, I think. So yeah, definitely. I think there's a huge, we can see whatever we want all the time. Like we literally are like you, I can do anything on my phone. Like it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Of course. So obviously buying things, it's a sad state, you know, I don't know, not to get too like real, but like, what does that say about like the society we've built, that like even pretending to buy things is like exciting.
It's joyous.
Like pretending to give other people your money and receiving nothing. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And time is the most valuable thing, and you're wasting time like on something that's not even real.
Yes.
Some
big thoughts there, Will.
I think
a lot of people would agree. On the text line, someone saying, I don't understand these shopping apps. Isn't the thrill of shopping the actual owning of an item, not just the purchasing? Fake gambling apps make more sense to me. Someone else saying, yeah, this is ridiculous. People just need to get off their phones and get some self-discipline. Someone else saying, no, part of the excitement is receiving the package. This is why I love cheap sites, cheap buys, and I get a dopamine rush. That's part of it that stuck with me as well, of like people buying fake food and like watching it be tracked to their house. And I'm like, if it doesn't show up, that's awful.
Like, yeah, that's like the worst thing. It's like your Uber Eats like doesn't arrive, or like you're like, what the hell? Like, I needed this, you know, I needed this in this moment and it's let me down. And then to open the door and it fully not even be there, like the letdown is so much harder.
I also think like, this could just be me, but like I also feel like there's an element of like, for example, if you get food ordered, I think my brain tells me it actually tastes better if I go out and pick it up and bring it back. It could be the same delivery trip, but there's something about like I went and got this that for me makes it taste a little bit better. And it's the same thing as when I buy things in store. Like it feels like I earned it almost. It's like I made a day of this, and the purchase was actually like I had to drive it, and it's taken like a part of my day to acquire this item rather than just being like, oh, it's arrived.
Interesting.
So maybe that plays a part into why I don't online shop as well.
Getting such good insight into how your mind works. And there's one other like real concern here, I think, that a lot of people would have, is that, are you just helping advertisers? Like telling another app your preferences, what it is that you would buy if you were spending money. Like, is that just asking to be targeted with ads? Like your fake choices, you know, you might not be spending money, but they could be really valuable in another way. Do you think that is he? Like,
yeah, definitely. I also think like if you're not paying to sign up for the app, then you are the product. You know what I mean? It's like they're selling your data to then, yeah, exactly, target you with ads. I just... you know, you can understand like where someone's coming from to have this idea, but I think it's probably like should have been like an idea at like kick-ons that shouldn't have eventuated into being made.
Look, someone on the text line says this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And on that note, we are going to move on.
Hack. Leg hair harassment, or a term coined online as tsunehara, referring to the discomfort of being forced to see their colleague's leg hair.
On Triple J.
I want to know how you feel about shorts in the workplace. Obviously in sub jobs, that's totally normal, and some parts of the country as well, like hello, Northern Australia, that, you know, it's a necessity there. But for office jobs, I'm thinking places that have maybe been a bit more corporate,
Should we free the knee?
Hack.
Shorts, t-shirts, and trainers are becoming more common thanks to a push by the Tokyo Metropolitan Government to help workers cool down.
There is no one universal standard for what is appropriate to wear in an office.
In the office, men should be wearing a suit and tie.
The new shorts recommendation, a few women are describing the experience as leg hair harassment.
There's even been an uptick in men getting laser hair removal in Japan as a matter of social etiquette when wearing shorts.
What you wear to work matters.
On Triple J.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this because the government in Tokyo is pushing company employees to ditch the usual suit and tie for shorts because of how hot it is there at the moment. So it got us thinking about appropriate workplace attire. Let me know if there's something at work you cannot stand, or if you like being a bit flexible with your workplace attire. 0439 757 555. You can text in and let me know what your biggest workplace etiquette peeve is. Will, what do you think? Shorts, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm a big yeah. Because if you're, like, I don't know. I think it's like no one's dressing for you, if that makes sense. So if you're offended by what someone wears, then it's like, soz.
Period.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. That's just what I think.
Is
so,
he?
Yeah.
Free the knee?
I'm here for free the knee. Oh, I'm like an advocate of like bring yourself to work and that you should be able to be yourself in the workplace. So I think free the knee.
Okay. I was going to say, like, Izzy, you are a very nice dresser. Every time I see you, you've got a really cool outfit on. Does that mean you're paying more attention, though, to what other people are wearing to work? Like, do you kind of have a pet peeve about workplace attire? Or are you pretty loose?
I feel like I'm pretty loose. I mean, to be fair, most of my career I've worked in youth media in that there is no dress code and I'm, like, fully me, just, like, anything goes. So I think I very much have a warped perception of, like, what is, quote-unquote, like, office appropriate. But yeah, I think that you should be able to be comfortable. I understand that there are definitely like safety concerns instead of if you're just wearing thongs in the office and, you know, like if there are definitely like concerns there and in terms of like the length of things, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, I think that there's probably a reasonable standard that most people could agree upon. But I think the knee, yeah, let it out.
Okay. On the text line, someone's saying, I work in an office and we don't have a dress code, but it really pisses me off when people wear trackies. That's an interesting text there. I want to just quickly bring up some points about what's happening in Tokyo because, you know, apparently there's some really mixed feelings about this. There's the term leg hair harassment that's being thrown around. Will, leg hair, like, does that kind of gross you out? Can you see where this is coming from? Or no, nah, you're just fully on board with shorts?
Well, as a gay, I don't mind a bit of leg hair for obvious reasons. But, yeah, like, it's such a difficult one because it's like, yes, like, wear whatever you want. Like, that is what I'm all for. So, but also I'm kind of just like, really, like, someone's leg hair is annoying you that much? Like, I'm kind of like, grow up a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm also like a little bit like salary man, like, welcome to the woman's world. Like, you know, the expectations put on women to look a certain way, to have their bodies be a certain way, whether that be like without hair. I'm just a bit like, well, yeah. Tables have turned.
Well, that is part of the conversation because apparently even though they're encouraging the men to wear shorts, women still should be wearing tights if they're, you know, exposing some of their legs. So I think it's an interesting point that you bring up there.
Yeah, well, I think in that like direct instance, it's such a double standard that men are able to show bare knee, but women can show knee with a tight or like stocking over the top. I think it should just be the same standard, like men in a tights with shorts on top.
What about toes out at work?
Look, again, you've come to the wrong person because like, if I could just be barefoot, like if I could have come in here barefoot, I would.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Big on barefoot.
Okay. Is he?
I'm a big shoe on kind of girl. Right. Yeah, I don't like toes out in the office just because I've like no disrespect, but I've seen some real mangled toes in my time and I just don't need to see that when I'm trying to focus.
I don't want to out anyone in particular, but I work closely with someone who loves to take their shoes off at work at the desk. And you know, it's great. you know, we should all feel comfortable at work, shouldn't we? Look, we are going to have to wrap up there. It has been so fun. Hearing all of your takes on this and on the text line, people have thoughts, can I say? Someone saying, my office is so chill about what we wear, but some of the men in my office need to learn to shower and wear clean clothes.
Tea.
Okay. Someone is saying, my nips are constantly accidentally on high beam at work in luxury retail. Okay, good to know. Someone saying, I think I'd want my lawyer to be wearing pants. Okay, so maybe it depends on the profession that you're in. But that's all we have time for today on The Shake Up. I'm Angel Parsons, and it has been so nice to be talking to you. Comedian Will Gibb, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so very, 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 very much.
Sit down. Yeah. And Izzy Phillips, thank you so much for joining us on The Shake Up.